Hey, good afternoon. I know it's early, but hey, it's sports look time here on Care Radio because we've got a ton of stuff going on here this evening. First of all, a tip of the hat to our sports look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank. And because the upcoming sports schedule, while we really don't have a lot of stuff penciled in, it's because every day we're penciling new stuff in. Like coming up right after sports look tonight, we're going to have the Benedictine College Lady Ravens here in, top of the hour, 6 o'clock tip-off at the Sison Arena up on the campus of Grandview University in Des Moines. Benedictine, Lady Ravens, and Grandview, first-round game, quarterfinal game in the conference ladies tournament. And then tomorrow night, we're going to have hoops here on Care Radio, and then all next week, it's going to be a nightly game, and we'll be keeping you up to speed on all those contests as we get there. First things first, guys, basketball. Is there high school basketball left for some teams?
Kind of.
But does it matter?
No.
Yeah, maybe not really.
Oh, I mean, really from now on, the games between now and Monday, really the only thing that matters is you're going to have, 6-5-4 will have Friday's game go into counting towards their sub-state. They'll seed the 6-5-4 on Saturday. You'll have a couple play-in games, and we're going to talk about that here just in a few minutes on Saturday. But, you know, for a majority of these Friday night games, they don't mean anything, right? It's just you want to polish a few things up. You want to rest some people. I mean, I think that's about where it comes down to.
Okay, so I could tell you why the game tomorrow night at Jackson Heights is important, is they're going to be hosting Moorhill Mount Academy, not for the sub-state, they're the number one seed, not for anything except, Gus, for Jackson Heights. It is a rare, rare opportunity. It's kind of that unicorn we talk about, a chance at an undefeated championship in the Northeast Kansas League, and that's worth playing for.
Yeah, and I think for them, maybe more so than anything, is they're going big picture with this, and they're thinking if you make it into the state tournament, you want to have as many wins as possible going into there to assure yourself a good seed. So, yeah, I mean, when you start breaking down some things, there's a handful of games going on tomorrow night. But with that being said, let's just jump over them and figure that they're not going to happen and move on to Class 3A sub-state starting on the ladies' side, where Silver Lake is the one seed, Royal Valley is the 8 seed. But you drop down to the, 2 seed of Hiawatha, you've got Nemaha Central and Sabetha. Like, you've got some good teams in that Class 3A sub-state there at Silver Lake.
And Royal Valley is a team that I have ultimate respect for because what are they? They were in the state championship game for the last 2 years. So you know that they know what winning is like. And even though Silver Lake is outstanding at 18-1 and maybe just as important, they're playing in their own home gymnasium because that's the sub-state site. Still, they're going to have to be very respectful of that Royal Valley team coming in Tuesday at 7 o'clock. By the way, there's going to be one Monday game. The Hiawatha-Marysville game is going to be a 6 o'clock game in Hiawatha, and there are good reasons for all of that.
Yeah, they're going to play that game because the guys and the girls both are playing the same opponent, so why not double them up, play the same night? You jump over to the guys' side of that, and no surprise, Royal Valley, one of the best teams in the state of Kansas. They are the number one team in that sub-state.
Yep, and they're going to be playing a winless Jeff West team. It's remarkable that Jeff West has struggled like they have this year. With Nemaha Central in the 2 spot, they're great, 17-3, and they're going to be hosting Rossville. Sabetha will host Silver Lake, and rounding it out, it will be Hiawatha-Marysville, a 9-10 and a 9-11, and they end up at Hiawatha because of that one loss.
It's been a while since I've been to West Franklin, but in the Pomona sub-state of Class 3A, you're going to find Pleasant Ridge making the trip down there. The Class 3A girls sub-state, you look down and the number 3 seed finds Pleasant Ridge, and they are going to be home Tuesday the 1st. Isn't that crazy to say Tuesday the 1st?
Yes.
With the Pomona ladies, the winner of that ball game will get the winner of Heritage Christian and Perry Lecompton. You look up, the number 1 seed in that sub-state is the Santa Fe Trail ladies at 15-4.
Wait a minute. Who's the head coach down there? Any idea? I believe it's J.C. Kramer. How good is that?
jumping over to Class 3A Substate at West Franklin. And on the guy side, you're going to find Osage City getting the number one seed at 17-3. The number two seed, Pleasant Ridge, at 16-4. They will be home Monday night as they're going to host Perry LeCompton, the 7 seed. That's a good 7 seed, right? At 10-10, a 500 team coming in there. The 3 seed will see Ward take on Santa Fe Trail.
So, a lot of great 3A going on around here. I guess we see a lot of Class 2A. And that Class 2A substate that is being held this year at Valley Falls. As you look at the girls' side, we just talked about it, Jackson Heights. No question they are the number one seed. They are an 18-1 team, but they do not know who they'll be playing in the first round yet because there is, as you referenced earlier, there's going to be a play-in game for the girls' side in this substate.
Yes, Saturday afternoon, a 4 o'clock game being played at Valley Falls. It will see the number 8 seed Valley Falls taking on the number 9 seed Oskaloosa. Winner punches their ticket to go to Jackson Heights on Monday evening.
Other game is going on in that Valley Falls girls' side of the substate. The number 2 seed, ACCHS, is going to be at home Monday night with McLeod. The number 3 seed is going to be Jefferson County North, and they're going to be hosting MHMA. And rounding out then, you'll find Riverside at home with Horton. 9-11 and 7-11, those two teams are. And in fact, for Morehead Academy, you know, here's how close those records were. The number 6 seed is 7-12. The number 7 seed was 7-12. It was a tiebreaker. And the number 8 seed is 7-13. So you could have gone, you know, from 6 to the play-in game, you know, just with one sneeze right there. Is that close?
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy that you go back to the game earlier this week, the Monday or the Tuesday game, depending on what night you play. Like, that game meant a lot. And so, look up and down here. If you're Morehead Mount Academy, you got a 6 seed, but you're probably okay with the 6 seed you got. Because, again, you're going to get the number 3 team, JCN, but you've already taken care of JCN once this season. So you got to feel pretty good if you're Morehead Mount Academy with where you rolled up. I'm going to tell you, I think the ugliest matchup here is probably that Horton Riverside. I mean, talk about two pretty decent teams coming in at the 4-5. And, again, every time you look at a bracket, your 4-5 should be probably your closest game of the thing.
It is. And my question for you is, and you played a little high school basketball too. Tell me, this substate is a Northeast Kansas League substate plus Riverside. Mm-hmm. Okay? Do you, in a substate, are you sick and tired of playing the same guys? Or are you thinking when you go into those games, I know these guys and I know just how to beat them?
As a player, you're kind of tired of seeing them. As a coach, you're thrilled because, like, you kind of know what the other coach is thinking and how to attack it. But, yeah, I mean, as a player, you're just looking to get somebody different, and you're just kind of moving on. I will tell you the other problem of playing a lot of your, you know, league opponents. Maybe you wax that team twice. You sometimes overlook that other team. So, you know, sometimes that can be a hindrance towards you.
Looking at the guy side in the Class 2A Valley Falls substate, no question if Valley Falls is the number one seed in this thing. They are really good, Gus. I've seen him a number of times this year. 20-0. That's a great year for Coach Gatzmeyer and those young men.
Yeah, the biggest question is, who do they play in round one, right? The play-in game is going to be the number 8 seed, Oskaloosa. They're going to be home at 1 o'clock with McLeod, the 9 seed. So the winner of that gets the opportunity to play against Valley Falls in the first game.
The number 2 seed is going to be Jefferson County North, a 14-6 team. They're going to be at home with Horton, a team that has scared every team that they've played all year. I mean, they haven't played, this guy's team has played some guys really close, and you know, Horton, they're a handful.
Yeah, Horton's a team who beat Jefferson County North just, what, 10 days ago,
yeah,
maybe? I mean, it was one of those games where JCN just wasn't shooting well. Horton had a hot night. And I'm going to tell you, that's the other thing about tournament basketball, right? On any given night, a team with a hot shooting game, they can take over the whole thing and make a quick little run. So there are some fun games in this substate.
Okay, other than, and you always have to say with Valley Falls, other than Valley Falls, the hottest team in the substate is going to be the number 3 seed, is ACCHS, is going to be at home. They're going to be hosting Jackson Heights, a team they just had there, what, 2 days ago? And so for Atchison County coming in at 10-10, but they're 10-10, and I think, and I'd have to check, they're on an 8-game winning streak right now.
Well, right now the Tigers are starting to do something that, you know, even good teams sometimes struggle to figure out, and that's how to win close games, right? Because I'm going to tell you that ACCHS has probably been in more close games this year than Valley Falls, right? Valley Falls has probably run away from everybody. But the Tigers, how many times have you seen them win a game in the last 3 minutes, right? And that's a big thing, to be able to, you know, get down to crunch time and have your team be able to say, all right, this is how we're going to win this game. We've done this a handful of times already. And all of a sudden, you start feeling good about that opportunity. And so, yeah, right now the Tigers are one of the hotter teams in, you know, this sub-state. And they're going to be a handful. They, of course, play in that Tuesday game against Jackson Heights. It's a 3-6 matchup. And we talked about it moments ago, Moore Hill Mount Academy going to get a home game. They're going to get Riverside.
Yeah, kind of an interesting matchup there. And the difference between number 3, ACCHS, and number 4, Moore Hill Mount Academy, 9-10 or 10-10. So you played one more game and you were able to win that, and that was the difference maker there. So lots of great games going on, and also pay attention to MSC. We'll be keeping you up to speed with the brackets and how things are going. Also with state wrestling going on this week and weekend, they'll be keeping an eye on all of that.
Yeah, what, Moore Hill Mount Academy sends one wrestler, ACCHS sent 8,
sent
I believe.
Almost everyone.
Yeah, so, you know, good luck to all of those wrestlers this weekend. I think the ladies are wrestling
Right, yesterday now.
And today in Salina, and then you go to Friday, Saturday in Hayes for, you know, and that's another thing. Hayes has kind of been the mecca when it comes to 3-2-1A state wrestling for quite some time. It's going out there to, right, Gross Memorial?
Yep, absolutely.
So, seems like a great setup. I've seen pictures of it. You know, I've not been, but, yeah, so hats off to all those wrestlers, and, you know, it's a fun time for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, and pick out your team, follow the brackets, and we'll be keeping you up to speed on all those scores here on Care Radio. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. First segment of Sports Look in the Book, but we've got lots more coming your way. Stay with us. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. We're running early because we've got Benedict and Lady Raven basketball coming up right after Sports Look at 6 o'clock here this evening. And speaking of women's college basketball and the Heart of America Athletic Conference, around the conference, and tournament begins tonight. And some interesting games up and down. Of course, we mentioned the South 3 team, Benedictine, playing the North 2 team, Grandview, in Des Moines tonight here on CARE. Let's look at the number 1 seeds, as Clark is going to be at home this evening. It is also a 6 o'clock game, and they are hosting Evangel. If there's an uglier road trip, I can't even imagine what it is.
And the problem for Evangel was they were just up there like a week ago,
yeah,
right? You know, and I think when it comes down to it, Evangel's an okay team. Clark is a much superior team. I don't see this really being a close game tonight.
Well, in the other top half of the bracket, it's going to be number 2 in the South and number 3 in the North, Mid-America hosting Mount Mercy. This could be a really tight contest.
Yeah, I think this will be a better game, but I also think Mid-America understands that they've got their backs against the wall right now, and they played that really tough schedule early on in the season. They took a handful of losses. All of a sudden, they're going to have to fight out of a hole, and I think that they're going to come out swinging. That could be a fun game.
And the other game, the fourth game in this quarterfinal, the South number 1 team, Central Methodist, is going to be hosting Missouri Valley, and you talk about Clark Evangel's an ugly trip. It's going to be an ugly game.
I was going to say, at least it's a close trip, right?
Yeah.
Like, what, 20 miles maybe separate the two schools?
Yeah. I bet there's a country road that can make it less.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you talk about at least a close game. I do think Valley will keep it close for a while just because Coach Lister has, you know, been in these types of games. But when it comes down to it, I just think Central Methodist is going to be a really tough team. And then the game tonight.
Yes, the Benedictine Lady Ravens. They met in Des Moines back on the 16th of January. The Vikings won that game, and it wasn't even close, 87-66. The Ravens coming into the postseason at 20-9 and 12-7 in the conference. The Vikings are 24-6, 16-3. in conference play.
And the Vikings right now have the reigning player of the week, Shannon Pizney. She's really good, right? Coming off a week where she averaged 28.5, dished out 8 assists, and only knocked down 60% of her three-point attempts.
Yeah, she's good.
Right?
I mean, she is, you know, every team, let me rephrase that. Any good team has a player, sometimes a couple, but typically a player who's the catalyst, okay? They are the player who can put that team on their back. They're the player who can inspire their teammates to greater play. They're the guy or girl who, without whom their team's just not the same thing. Shannon Pizney is that for this team here in Nebraska or Iowa.
Yeah, I think if you look around and you say, you know, who's that one player that I want off of that team? And Shannon Pizney is it, right? She was first team all-conference. And she's really what makes this team go. And tonight for Coach Folsom, he knows going into this game what he's going to have to do. And that's slow her down, right? If you can get her off her game, Grandview's not quite the team they are. If you're going to let her knock down 60% of her three-pointers, you're going to be in for a long evening, right? Taking a look at the conference came out with their all-conference selections, and the Lady Ravens had one on the first team, and that was Skylar Washington. Dropped down to second team all-conference, you're going to see Natalie along with Allie Brzezowski in there. For Benedictine, honorable mentions, didn't get anybody there. They did on the bottom half of that, Aaliyah Raines and Kennedy Nicholson. Real nice little honor for the two of those players coming into the season. But Aaliyah Raines was also first team, all conference, all defensive team.
Yeah.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, she and Natalie are on the all defense team. And I really don't know how you determine that. I'm not sure what the criteria is. I don't know how you establish great defensive players. I mean, you can look at statistics and all of this and that. That's got to be a tough one. But the fact that Benedictine plays two on the five-person all-defensive team. Coach Folsom's got to be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, you know who else should be proud of that? Co-assistant coach of the year, Andy Wilder. So, Andy Conley. I still harken back to that, my bad.
Yes.
But yeah, Andy Conley is the assistant or the co-assistant coach of the year. So, her along with Clark's Adam Hawking, you know, got that award. And I'm telling you, every year, though, I'm good with Coach of the Year, Player of the Year, you know. I think it's funny, though, that in the last handful of years, we've split up Player of the Year and Newcomer of the Year and Freshman of the Year. I think that also goes to show you the trend of transfers, right?
Yeah, see, and there's the thing. You're going to have true freshmen, and then you're going to have people who are new to the conference, and whether they come, you know, from a junior college background or a community college background, or whether they have transferred in from some other institution, and you know, that's all going to be tough. By the way, conference coach of the year was Courtney Boyd out of Clark, leading their team to their first ever regular season title, 26-4, 17-2. They got that title outright, and they're just so good. They're going to go to their second straight conference tournament this year. As last year, they went to the national championship, knocking off Mid-America, and they are a number one seed, as we talked about. So congratulations to Coach Courtney Boyd.
Yeah, Coach Boyd has now punched their team's ticket to the national tournament. Let's look at the ladies real quick. Clark is going, Grandview's going, right?
Absolutely.
I just don't see any way around it. 26-4, 24-6. Those are no doubters. Central Methodist is going at 25-4. Benedictine is going to sit right now at 20-9. I think 20 wins probably gets you in, but I get where some people are going to say, yeah, but you finished third in your conference, 7 conference losses. Mid-America right now is, I think, the scary team at 17-10. And I say they're scary because I think they've got the talent to win the conference tournament. And if they do, that's really going to send a wrench through some things. I don't know. This conference is going to send a lot of teams to the national tournament.
So for the Lady Ravens to get there, does it take – okay, they're 20-9, and you're not sure that's quite enough since you're third in your division. So the question is, what's good enough? One more win?
One more win. I think 21-10 sounds better than 20-10, right? I mean, I think there's something about that one more win and a win over a good opponent.
Now, here's the deal, though. One more win also means – at some point you're going to have, if you don't keep winning, you're going to have one more loss. So, that would make them 21 and 10.
Yeah, I'd be fine with 21 and 10. I think for me, it's a mental thing of, you know, if you're 20 and 10, now you're just back to 2-1, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that 21 sounds a little better of jumping over that hurdle. So, telling you, a lot of good games around the Heart of America Athletic Conference tonight, and you're going to have one real soon.
Tune in here on Care Radio. Benedictine Lady Raven basketball coming up shortly. Also coming up shortly, more Sports Look. We'll be back with it right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. Gus, last night, the Heart of America Athletic Conference guys teams got underway. They alternate. Guys last night, ladies tonight, guys tomorrow night, back and forth through the championship. And for the Benedictine men, it was this very familiar Des Moines trip. Then for the Ravens, it was a good trip to Des Moines. Took them a minute. It was thrilling. Matter of fact, regulation wasn't enough as it spilled over into another 5 minutes. But Benedictine coming away with an absolutely outstanding win, and the Raven guys' season continues.
Yeah, so the first time these two teams played, Benedictine's men came away with like a 4-point victory. Last night, they turn around and come away with a 7-point victory, and yeah, it took them 45 minutes, but again, when it came down to crunch time, you lean on your studs, and that was Matt Austin and Jaden Bristol last night.
No question about it. Jaden, fantastic. I mean, threw the team on his shoulders, I thought, midpoint, maybe even a little earlier than that, of the second half. And Matt contributing offensively. The Ravens were able to generate more offense than we usually see out of them, and it took it all as they went at 95-88. All the games in the conference tournament last night were closer than maybe I expected any of them to have been, as Evangel had to come from behind, but they were able to beat Mount Mercy at home 71-63. Central Methodist at home beat Peru State 70-64. And then, what a game. William Penn, Mid-America, went overtime also. And I'm going to tell you guys, I thought Mid-America was going to win that thing right at the end. They took a last shot with moments to go, and it just caromed away. And Penn hit a couple of late free throws, and they went 101-97.
Yeah, so it was 99-97. Mid-America had the ball with like 16 seconds, I believe, on out of bounds. Bring it in, move the ball around, get underneath a little dunk out pass, and I'm telling you, it was a lined up spot on three, just a little long, hits the back iron, bounded away. Penn hits two free throws with 0.6 seconds left and come away with a 101-97 win. And for Rocky Lamar, that was a tough way to lose. But again, I liked the play call. I'm not so sure it was exactly designed. It was like, hey, this cat's wide open. Let's get him a three. Just couldn't hit it. And yeah. Sets up for an interesting round two. William Penn will be back home, and that will be Saturday at 7:30. And it will be Central Methodist going to William Penn. Central Methodist already has beat. Friday. 7:30 game. Central Methodist has already beat William Penn this season, so Penn looking to avenge a loss.
Their only conference loss.
For Benedictine, they're going to be on the road Friday night. They're going to be at Evangel, a 6 p.m. start. And so for Benedictine, having lost twice to Evangel, close games both times, looking to kind of right the ship there.
Yeah, Ravens and the Valor have met twice, as you mentioned. December the 7th in Springfield, Evangel won 78-67. Then the 26th of January, not that long ago, the Valor won in Atchison, hung on for a low-scoring 58-53 win.
That's the kind of game, though, that Coach Moody likes.
Oh, absolutely. And you talked about that Central Methodist and Penn. You know, those guys, it was 2022 first-team all-conference player Jonathan Brown with 35 points for the Eagles. Central Methodist in that game, are you ready for this? 85 field goal attempts. They shot 32 threes in the course of the game. And Kevion Blaylock had 19 points and Kamari Newman 18 for William Penn. I mean, the big names shined in that game the last time they played.
Yeah, and I think you're going to probably see the big names come back to the forefront when you talk about it. Talking about Kamari Newman, He was, or excuse me, Kavion Blaylock. He was the Heart of America Athletic Conference Player of the Year on the men's side. Tim Cameron of Central Methodist was the Defensive Player of the Year. Mount Mercy fielded the Freshman of the Year. Newcomer of the Year went to Clark's Jacob Fierce. And then Blake Sandquist, the William Penn Assistant Coach, was the Assistant Coach of the Year. And no shock on the Coach of the Year. Well, depends who you ask.
Right. It was a Coach of the Year, and in my opinion, slash Lifetime Achievement Award for Rocky Lamar. As Coach Lamar won that award, and he is retiring from coaching at the end of the season, which was last night for him. And so congratulations to Coach Lamar, and they already have their heir apparent in line and ready to go, sitting at his side all season long.
So for Benedictine, taking a look at the, you know, all conference teams, shouldn't be shocked, right?
Not
Jim
for a minute.
Bristol,
no.
Matt Austin, both first team all conference players. You drop down to the second team, nobody, but Benedictine did put an honorable mention in there at Saxton Thuston, so good for him. And here's my problem with the all-defensive team, okay? You can't have an all-defensive team if you don't have Saxton Thuston on there.
No.
Right? Like, I mean, you talk about one of the better shot blockers and one of the best rebounders in the conference, and he doesn't make the all-defensive
team. What I
want
to know is how you have guys, two guys, and the all-conference, all-defensive team, and a team that I bet's averaging giving up 85 a game.
Yeah, I mean, Kavion Blaylock is a great player, but definitely defense is not on his mind at all. So, yeah, again, it's one of those things where the defensive team, yeah, well, we had a few players, let's throw them on there. Why not?
Give them a few extra props for the course of the year. But, again, hearty congratulations to Benedictine. We had a nice chance to visit with Coach Moody post-game and get his immediate view, but he seemed very, very proud of his team and certainly ought to be. That was no easy job going on that road trip and taking that win. So congratulations to the Ravens, and good luck to him Saturday. We'll be back. Fourth segment of Sports Talk right on the horizon. Happy to have you with us here on Care Radio. Don't go far. Women's basketball, the Lady Ravens coming up here in conference tournament play in just a few minutes. But right now, Gus, our fourth segment. We haven't talked about it. Did we not talk about this? The Rams win the championship? We think we covered that a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit. And, you know, now as we move our way to postseason, the Combine will be here shortly. And it's kind of a disaster. It's one of those things that if you really want to get down a rabbit hole, you can kind of Google around on it. But right now, you got a lot of the prospects saying, well, I'm not going to the Combine because of some bubble issues and things. I'm going to tell you, the Combine might become one of those things of the past soon, because I think a lot of people are okay with pro days instead of, you know, getting ready for one event, going out to the Combine and doing those things. I think the Combine really helps some of those smaller school guys. The tackle from Culver Stockton is going to get seen now at the Combine. Adontari Poe, right? Going into that draft, a lot of people didn't know who he was. He was really good at Memphis, but not a lot of people were watching Memphis football. And so I think that that's good for those guys. But a lot of these big school guys, I think, will stop going to the Combine pretty soon.
You know who went to the Combine and made a huge impact? Jamie Mueller.
Yeah.
That was the big kick down the door for him.
You know, and that's what I mean. These smaller school guys really need the Combine. And I think as you get into some of these, you know, big school guys, they're just going to say, we have a pro day. I'm going to hold out for that.
And I'm curious to see where some of these people land. Is Aaron Rodgers going to go to the AFC? Or, you know, there's a lot of talk, and I haven't seen any action yet. It'll probably be a little bit before that shakes out, maybe even all the way down to and up on draft day.
Yeah, you know, and he says he's going to, you know, put it out there pretty quickly so that people have time to do things. I think Aaron likes Aaron, right? Like, he kind of likes holding the bag and waiting for everybody to listen to him, wait for him. And
you realize there are probably, 30 teams in the conference who would take him?
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, 25
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, 25 for sure. But, yeah, I think that you're right up there, you know. One of those dark horse teams that I think would be fine with it, I think Jerry Jones would trade his quarterback for Aaron Rodgers today.
I think a lot of people who are Cowboy fans are not happy with how that's all working out with Dak, and he's got the fat money, and they're not seeing the return on it, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, and the NFL does such a great job, right, of spreading things out, right? And you're going to start seeing franchise tags can now be applied. You're going to get talking about that. You're going to get the combine here in about a month or 3 weeks. Then you're going to get, you know, free agency and the draft. And before you know it, we'll be talking NFL football again.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit basketball in the University of Kansas the other night. They had a team come in. I don't remember who it was anymore. They had a pretty handy win in that one. And now they're going to have a little better competition as they're going to be playing at Baylor Saturday.
Jump back to that game the other night.
Uh-huh.
What'd you think of the Unis? Did you like the Sunflowers?
Were they kind of cool?
I thought they were kind of neat. A lot of people aren't.
I don't want them every day.
No, but, you know, for the Sunflower Showdown, throw them out there once in a while. It's kind of different, kind of neat.
How many uniforms does Kansas have? 6 or 8?
As many as Adidas wants to make. I mean, I think that's just it. When Kansas comes down to it, how many times
it's like
do you
Oregon
turn it
football?
On? Yeah. How many times do you turn it on and you say, who's playing? And you're like, oh, that's KU. Because you're like, I've not seen that uniform
and,
yet.
And then there was a throwback uniform they had week or so ago
white,
from the
you know,
20s.
One. Yep, yep. So, you know, they get all kinds of great unis. And for Kansas, one more game here in February. It's going to be a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Saturday, they're going to be on the road down in Waco as Kansas will take on Baylor. The last time these two teams played wasn't close. Kansas ran away from them in Allen Fieldhouse. I do not expect this game to go like that. I think this game will be much closer. If Kansas can win, they're going to basically seal themselves up for another Big 12 title. Iowa State is going to make the trip down to Kansas State. And I'm telling you, Kansas State fan has been jumping up and down, want to get rid of Bruce Weber. I throw my hands up and say, what does Kansas State want, you know, out of a coach, right? Like Bruce Weber, I feel like has done well enough. He's been there 10 years. And been to 6 or 7 NCAA tournaments, which is pretty good for Kansas State. They all say, well, Frank Martin did. You know, since Frank Martin has left Kansas State and went to South Carolina, in 10 years, how many NCAA tournaments has South Carolina made? One. Granted, they made it to the Final Four, but only one. Like, sometimes you got to step back and, you know, the say it out loud test, I think is how they call it.
So Kansas 23-4 against Baylor 23-5, two top 10 teams. That's going to be a good one.
Kansas, then you go to Monday night. Kansas State will travel to Lubbock and take on Texas Tech for the 8 o'clock game. And then next week, Kansas is going to get a lot of Texas going on.
Yeah, a lot of frogs going on, to be exact.
So Tuesday, they're going to go to Fort Worth, and then Thursday, they're going to turn around and be home with the Frogs. So I feel like it's one of those end of the first semester scheduling snafus, and you rescheduled it late, and here's what you get.
But you got to get it in.
You got to get it in.
Hey, what you got? Are they going to get in baseball? There's the question, because I saw where the sides have come down. Major League Baseball has said if we don't have some kind of an agreement by the first of the week, we're going to have to start canceling games.
Yeah. So they met Friday, Saturday, and when they came away from it, they actually both sides said they felt like they were further away from a deal than they were going into the meeting. That's not good. They've now set a hard deadline of Monday. If no deal is reached by Monday, they're going to start canceling regular season games. And what that means more so than canceling games, it means that you're not getting a full year's paycheck. And that's where the players are not going to be too happy with it. There's a lot of things that they've agreed upon. It sounds like the universal DH is a thing now. It also sounds like expanded playoffs. But they're going to get a deal done at some point.
So do you have any idea what the hang-up is? Do you have any clue what's the hit
I
here?
Honestly just think it's going to come down to, well, we don't want to be there just yet. And, again, when you hear both sides say, well, if we think a deal can get, you know, found in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Well, if you think that, then just do it now. Get it over with. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things to happen in baseball. And, again, they should look at the Olympics where nobody watched it and say, man, people are finding other things to do. So baseball needs to get this figured out and quickly.
And that all said, we'll be curious to see how it all right. Checks out.
Let's throw it down. Next Thursday, when we come on for Sports Look, will baseball have reached a deal?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think there's any chance.
I'm not that optimistic either.
No, it's been going on since what? 2nd of December or something,
yeah.
And, you know, 2.5 going on 3 months later, still nothing. So I don't have any optimism right at this moment. And again, he's going to have to hit him in the pocket. That's where it matters most, I think.
Speaking of hitting him in the pocket, it sounds like Troy Aikman is about to finalize a deal with ESPN to do Monday Night Football. That would be a huge turn of events. Everybody thought he was going to go be the color analyst for Al Michaels with Amazon. So all of a sudden, Amazon's sitting there going, we got to find somebody to put in the booth. I'm going to tell you, they're going to throw a lot of money at somebody.
My Mondays are open.
I was going to say, you got nothing going on.
I got
on
nothing
Mondays.
On Mondays.
You can do a Thursday even. Why not?
I could do them both.
So, you know.
Get out of Sport Look and dash to, you know, Vegas or L.A. or wherever.
You know, wherever they ask you to be. So, you know, you want me to email Jeff this afternoon and tell him that, you know, you'd be a possible candidate?
Drop him a line.
There you go.
And speaking of going places, we're going to have Benedictine Women's Basketball here in minutes on Care Radio, the Lady Ravens, and Grandview here on Care Radio with a 6 o'clock tip-off. Basketball coming up pretty much every day for the next week or two or maybe even more. So stay with us here on Care for that. I want to thank our Sports Look sponsors, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Until we greet you from the gym, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.